Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Adventures in Asheville show, featuring Steve and Karen Wilson, owners and innkeepers of the Lion and the Rose Bed and Breakfast. Welcome, everybody. It is time for another adventure in Asheville. No, not just one adventure. We're going to be going on two adventures, photography and wine. That means nature's involved. There's a bed and breakfast involved. So yeah, there's always many adventures. And I think May is the perfect season to talk about this. We're going to talk about wine, photography. And of course, as you always know, Steve and Karen Wilson, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Wild, who own and run the Lion and the Rose Bed and Breakfast in the Montford Historic District of Asheville, are on the show. So welcome back, Steve and Karen. How are you?
Good.
Hey,
how are you?
Hey, good, good. Steve, I always ask this immediately, what is on tap? Because when you check into the Lion and the Rose, Steve welcomes you, or Karen welcomes you with his home-brewed beer. So what's happening for spring? What's the taste of spring?
Well, we went ahead. I was going to do an IPA, but I didn't have all the ingredients, but I need some beer. And so I had a bunch of leftover stuff. So I kind of did a mishmash of a pale ale. So we'll see how that goes.
Will we be able to taste
experimental.
That when we come see? We're on our way to see you for like a overnight or quickie, right? Is that going to still be on tap so we can taste your big?
Oh
it's
yeah,
not
that
a
will be.
mishmash. I know you like to use the word mash when you brew beer, but we like to say blend over here. You know, we are the big
Yes,
blend.
it's a fine blend.
Oh, okay. So
of assorted
save
grains and hops.
And we did save you and Nancy just a little bit of that chocolate stout.
Oh,
Yeah,
the
Dirty
Dirty
Godiva.
Godiva.
Got to take some of that.
The Dirty Godiva. Hey, listen, it's important because it's Nancy's birthday coming up, so she wants the Dirty Godiva. That's important.
There we
Even
go.
More important.
That is important. Hey, listen, do you have packages for people that come stay for their birthday? Do you do like special things
We
for
do.
people?
We do. We have a birthday package that includes like balloons, and I make a molten lava cake. So it's some, you know, just a sweet little package, nothing extravagant, but just something, you know, nice.
You know, that's important because some people don't want to celebrate, but they do really want to acknowledge it, you know, silently. They have that, like, I don't want to know. I have a friend like that. She's like, don't tell me about my birthday. But then when I call her, she's like, oh, it's so nice you called. And I'm so glad, you know. And so there's that deep down, we all want to be celebrated, right? So it's that weird balance. But Dirty Godiva is a good birthday, you know, beer. I'm just saying.
There you go.
I like it. What are you know, when we talk about today photography, we're going to talk about wine. When you stay at the Lion and the Rose, I would say like that's the beginning of a photography experience and a glass of wine, even beer, right? But there's you know we've had many wines and beers and even whiskeys from Three Trees Distillery. We've had a good time at the bed and breakfast, by the way, everyone, if you haven't heard over the years. But photography, do you people photograph the inn when they stay with you because of all the historic, you know, just the style, the decor, the architecture, the antiques, the gardens?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Very, very cool. Well, let's get our guests on the show. We have two other couples joining us, and then we will have to touch base back on the Lion and the Rose because they have, in addition to their family, a new baby that you may hear in the background. It's a puppy. We have to just say it. Just say it now. Karen, tell everybody. You got Lita.
Yes,
tell
Lita,
everybody
our new little Shih Tzu puppy. She's now 14 weeks old.
Oh, and so that's very cool.
Bully
Because, you
terror.
know, and Ozzy teaching her how to, you know, greet guests properly and everything?
Oh,
Because I've
yeah.
seen photos. It seems like she's already ready
She's
for the
a natural.
role. Yeah.
She is. She's already been a good little hiker. She loves people. She'll give kisses all day long. Very good.
Aww.
She's already natural. Yep.
You know, we're coming to see you so we can see her too. You know, that's a big deal.
Yeah, of
We're
course.
seeing you guys, but you know what I mean? Like we have to.
Yeah.
She's a baby.
Not a
bonus. Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Everyone,
She's
if you
a little
follow
girl.
the Lion and the Rose on Facebook and Instagram, you'll see her cute little picture. She's so cool. Okay. So talking about photo tours, one of the photos you could take is of Lita and Ozzy, because like Ozzy is also the other Shih Tzu. He's cool. We've got Chris and Bonnie Allen joining us from Asheville Photo Tours. And If you go on their site, you're going to get sucked down a rabbit hole of beauty. Go to ashevillephoto.tours and check them out, and they will take you to the places, those secret places, to get those perfect shots, and along the way, help you take that autofocus off. Like, really, don't we want to get off the A on the camera if you have a camera, or just stop the clicking without, knowing what you're doing and hoping your camera will automatically create that perfect shot. So I love that they're coming on the show. So welcome, Chris and Bonnie. How are you?
We're very well, thank you.
Hey,
Yes.
Bonnie, how are
Hey, on
you?
the show. Yeah, I'm great. Glad
Hey,
to be here with everyone.
this is awesome. So Chris, you kind of got Bonnie into photography, I hear.
Well, that's kind of right. Yeah, I studied photography in college. It wasn't a career. I had a sales career, but photography was always my passion in the background. And we moved to Asheville in 2005 after I hadn't been doing much photography. We spent 18 years living in Iowa, Rochester, New York, before that, where we met and started our family. But when we came here, I started, we'd go out on hikes and I would be taking long time to stop and do photographs of flowers or a little intimate scene or a vista. And Bonnie was impatient with me, so I decided I'd better buy her a camera. And she was already an artist, and she took to the camera like a duck to water, I guess, or some other metaphor. So she and she has a great sense of art. So now she's teaching me.
What a cool balance, because it's like the art side, because Bonnie, when I look at your photos, you do have that artistic side. Like sometimes it's like, oh, this is the like realism and watercolors blended together. And I mean, it's a good beer if you're Steve making beer, but you really do have that amazing quality of taking something, you mixing realism in with, this, I don't know how to say it, but you soften it all. It's beautiful.
Thank you. It's sort of the new trend in photography now too, is to do intentional camera movement, where you purposely blur it, or they have specialty lenses like Lens Baby that have a special blur to them also, as well as software programs, which can be used either on your computer, or there's ones for iPhones or Androids. It's really photography is sort of moving. I mean, there's always the grand landscape or the traditional photos, the dog photos, all that good stuff, but there's also a whole artistic side now to it that's very popular.
I'll be good at the blur. Like that's good. Like that's just and I think that when we talk about that, we're gonna go to wine. And I think this is a good thing because, well, it's in it, I know I'm laughing, but the reality is, when you photography, you want someone to take you around and do the amazing spots. But then we also have Ryan and Terry joining us, over Ryan and Terry Watts of Asheville Wine Tours. And I think this is really important because, listen, you don't want it to be a blur when you get back in the car after wine tasting. Hello, no. But you also want to have like the right
Yourself.
wines. You want to have someone take you around that actually knows wine. And I'm excited about this. Ryan and Terry, go to their website, ashevillewinetours.com. So welcome, Ryan and Terry. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Yeah,
Doing
great.
well.
Terry,
Thanks
how are
for
you
having us.
doing? You
Oh,
doing
I'm doing
good?
well. Thanks for having us.
So, Terry, am I right about no blurries allowed to happen for anybody wine tasting?
That's right.
So,
That is right.
I want to just touch on this. So, you both have experience and are certified in really understanding wine, right? So, when you go out, you're certified wine experts, and your staff are that when you go out, they can actually help you and through a wine tasting experience, which I think is really important because I know wine is growing, the wine tasting experience is growing, and it's kind of the snobbery is kind of subsided, right? So it's like we can now ask questions without, saying this is a stupid question.
That's right. There's so much to learn about wine.
And we actually started the wine tours before we knew much about it. We got started because, we live in this beautiful area and there are vineyards just outside of the Asheville proper. And we realized that when people come on vacation, there's the brewery tours that everybody's heard about and that Asheville is sort of famous for all the breweries, but we also have a growing wine industry as well. And when we started to learn about it, we got really excited about it and decided to kind of dig deeper into our knowledge and be able to share that with people. So we both started taking some educational classes, and there's, two different tracks that you can take. There's the Master Court of Sommeliers, and there's also the WSET, which is Wine Spirit Education Trust. And we went down both avenues there because we were so interested. I'm currently a WSET level two and studying for the three. I've taken a portion of it, but I need to go back and retake the exam. And I'm also a level one in the Master Court of Sommeliers. And Ryan?
And I am a level
That's
three
cool.
with WSET and a level one with the Court of Sommeliers.
Okay, so at the end of all these courses, do you get to have a wine belt that is like a
You get these cool
Merlot
bougie little pins that you get to wear
color?
that designate kind of your level or whatever, but we rarely wear them. The one thing I'll say, when you learn more about wine, it humbles you and you realize how much you don't know about wine. So it's kind of a diminishing return. It's like the farther you go down that rabbit hole, the more you realize you don't know. So much to
I just
learn.
have like immense appreciation for the winemakers, and I know you're doing spirits too, right? And it's such a huge deal because they're going with the weather, or they're going with the crops, they're going with the harvest. What happened? Like, the weather's changing across the country, around the world, right? And so I know that's got to also change for you both with Asheville Photo Tours, Chris and Bonnie taking people out. Weather's getting a little wonky, so I think it's good to be with someone who knows what's going on and can explain things and take you through things. But I just the more you get into wine and having someone to guide you is really, it's a big deal. Do you get groups like bachelorette parties, bachelor parties, that kind of thing, or just even people that are just, hey, we want to go on a tasting experience, get to see the area, because that's part of it too. You don't have to drive and you get to see the area and learn. And from everything we're learning from all our travel podcasts and food and wine podcasts that we do, people want a real experience. So going on a wine tour, they're getting that education, right? That people want.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, wine means different things to different people. And so we just want to be there to answer any questions that they have. And if they want to dive deeper into it, either myself or Terry or some of our trained staff can answer those questions. The wineries also, a lot of the wineries have, well-educated, certified people, and they walk them through their tastings and stuff and tell them about their wines, and they do a great job with that. So we just try to kind of be there to answer any questions that they have, and just kind of help them, with wine so that it's more approachable, for them.
Yeah, I love that. That's a good word, approachable. That's what I meant about it's like, 10, 15 years ago, it used to be like if you didn't know, like you felt weird going into a winery. It's like and galleries have done that too, and I think everyone's changed up. I don't know if it's a generational thing or I don't know what it is, but it's basically if you want to appeal to more people, you've got to loosen up a little bit. And I think the education part should be fun too. Is that part of it with the wine tours, is having a little bit of fun with it?
Definitely. It's a lot of fun, and it can be just as light as you want it to be. And like you mentioned, bachelorette parties, we do a lot of those. They're maybe not interested in the wine education. They might be more interested in just drinking wine for the day. They're doing the day drinking, so they don't care at all about the wine. They just, want to get out and
They
the
want a
vineyards
patio
are
pounder. That's what
exactly.
they want.
Yeah, and
Take me.
the vineyards are beautiful. we live in such a beautiful part of the United States, and you get people who come in to go to the Biltmore, and they're maybe going there for a wine tasting, whatever, but it can be, you know, as much information as you want, or just relax and enjoy the day. I'm not sure if you're aware of how the wine industry is growing in North Carolina, but there are over 200 vineyards, and the closest AVA to Asheville is super accessible for all of our Asheville clientele. It's called the Crest of the Blue Ridge AVA. So it's an American viticulture area that has been designated by Washington, D.C. So Washington, D.C. says there's something different about this area. And they become, you know, this AVA. There are seven vineyards in that AVA. And so it makes a, like, we can't even fit them all in one day. If somebody wanted to do a 3-day weekend, we could probably get them to all of the vineyards. Cause each vineyard is about an hour and a half stop. And then we go on to the next one. So we typically go to three vineyards in a day. And that's a good day trip for anybody visiting us from Asheville, or even locals tend to go as well.
I know it's interesting. We're doing this like right before Mother's Day, right? But I've got to imagine like mom and daughters going off and, you know, that kind of just a special experience. That's, and I know that as travelers, people want this authentic, an experience that is transformational. Yes, we want our patio pounder time too, but something, you know, you can get out and experience and taste and do and go, man, we had this, you know, I was at this crazy bachelorette party and all kinds of shenanigans happen. But, you know, one day we went wine tasting and you know what, I'm going to come back and do some more with, you know, maybe my mom or friends or something like that. And, or even just go on their own or with their spouse or partner to just go and hone in. Cause I think that's the coolest thing is to have an experience, whether it's like education or just serious fun. You know?
Yeah, it is definitely an experience. And we see all kinds of groups of people. Like you said, we get people that are meeting up for a college reunion. We get friends, you know, that have always traveled. They make a trip every year. And this just happens to be the place that they're, you know, coming to this year. We get lots of family reunions and, you know, just kind of all walks of life. It's really for everyone. And
well, every family reunion needs a wine tasting. Every reunion of college, any of that needs wine tasting.
I agree.
If you're on a corporate retreat, hell yes, you need a wine tasting.
Yeah,
do you want me to give you a list of reasons of why we need wine? Like 101 reasons,
yeah,
but
I'm
amazed at this because I know about Yadkin Valley in North Carolina from a travel writer, Joe Clark, who's been on our show. And I just did not know about Asheville. I mean, it's true. Beer billboard city, you know, because there's so much beer. But I know like the Biltmore has wine, but I just didn't know until going on your website. Everyone, again, AshevilleWineTours.com is the site. So it's Hendersonville Tryon. Am I saying that Tryon? Is it Tryon?
It's Tryon. So the main areas that we go to are Hendersonville and Tryon. Hendersonville has an AVA right now. It's the Crest of the Blue Ridge. Tryon should have one probably within the next 4 to 6 months, I would guess. They've submitted theirs. They're just waiting for it to go through all the process. And interestingly enough, Tryon, I believe, is the oldest wine region in the state. It can trace its roots back to the 1850s. There was like a huge pause on the whole wine industry in North Carolina once Prohibition hit. All the farmers moved off to safer crops and stuff. And then it kind of had with the Yadkin Valley, as those farmers started to move away from tobacco and move to other crops, they started getting more into grapes. And so in like the 90s, things started kind of having a renaissance and come back. And so, you know, it's a $2 billion industry for the state right now. And it's growing rapidly.
Cool. We love North Carolina. I want to bring Chris and Bonnie back into the conversation from Asheville Photo Tours. Again, that's AshevillePhoto.tours. Because it's really, you know, this is another thing. So you may want to do the photo tour before the wine. Just saying, unless you want the blur focus and you could have your own filter. But Chris, tell us a little bit about the importance of actually going on a photo tour, because a lot of people just do the pullover, a quick snap, the importance of this. I know a lot of travel writers and I know a lot of travelers and photographers, some very good photographers who say they always hire a guide when they get to a city, because it just saves them huge amount of time and money, and because they're after that shot. Do you get those kind of people that come in and go on your tours, or is it mostly like people that want to go around and like, I want to take some good photos?
Well, it's really, it's mostly people who are not familiar with the area, and they need a guide to take them to some of the best areas and quickly, without spending a lot of time driving around looking for something beautiful to shoot. And we get a lot of people who are photography enthusiasts already. You know, they, people who love to do photography. They either, most of them have cameras, although more and more we're seeing people who are just shooting with smartphones because they're so powerful in their photography, the devices are. But the two things that I think are important, one is helping people get to beautiful areas quickly, and number two, helping them make a deeper connection with the natural world and a more personal connection. And learning how to make better images that convey what they see, what they observe, and how they feel about what they're seeing. So it's really artistry, technique, and getting to beautiful places that we help people with.
And also, what I mean, photography has changed. I know you started with a brownie, right? And that you can, I mean, not the cookies, but anyway, well, those are Girl Scout cookies. Sorry, I was a brownie, and I got kicked out of being a brownie, but we're talking about brownie cameras. I did get kicked out of being a brownie. In 2 weeks, they kicked me out in England. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't want to do CPR to the doll because somebody else did it, and they didn't clean it.
And
I said no. Anyway, that's a whole other story. Don't start me. But Chris, going to that, going from the brownie camera, because I, you know, maybe people don't even know what that is, actually, when I bring that up.
Well, my first camera was at the age of 8, and my buddy next door, his father was a photography hobbyist. He had a darkroom in his house. Mm. Of course, you know, this is long before the digital photography, so it's all wet processing, chemicals, and so forth. But my buddy and I got very interested in shooting photography at that age. And then gradually over the years, I was able to get better and better cameras. My parents kind of supported my photography interest. But it really took off in college then. And I switched majors from education to photography. And really, that was my passion. Fine art photography. So I wasn't studying in a way that made it a career. But I think, you know, so many people now are realizing that we're living in a beautiful world, and they want to be able to experience it more deeply. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite quotes is from a photographer, Dorothea Lang. She said, "The camera is a tool that teaches us how to see."
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it happens. When you're going out with a camera, you pay attention and you observe, you notice things around you that you normally don't. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, very important for people to really appreciate the natural world more beautifully, more fully, and then to be able to create something with it to share with friends and family. And it's very satisfying to be able to make beautiful pictures, even if you're just printing, being able to get something printed and put it on the wall in your home.
Mm. I think, you know, they say also now, like, you know, with nature, I mean, we look at the stress levels of society right now is like through the roof crazy. It really is. I mean, so yes, we need wine, and we definitely need nature. And travel does all that. It takes you off course for what you've been focused on that could be driving you just into burnout mode, right? And photography reminds you, like, the micro, you know, there's that micro side and then the big side. Like, it, you're wherever your focus is, you start, especially out in nature, like you're talking about waterfalls, flowers, all of that is like, oh, and it's like meditational, because at that point you're focused on something completely different that your brain snaps out of the crazy zone where everything's talking at you. I got to pay this bill. I got to do this. I got to do that. You know, it gets you into this very pure meditational zone. Yes. And you start to realize it's humbling, actually, with yes. nature.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's very peaceful. It's right. just feeling in a way. Actually, we had a couple on a tour with us just this past weekend, and they commented in an email back to us afterwards. They said, "Thank you so much for a wonderful experience. You brought light into our shadows."
Mm.
We just love it.
That's a good one for photography, yeah. right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Good. Do you think that what you're doing, I've got a question for you, Chris, and then Bonnie. Chris, what you're doing in taking people on tours, and I know you have seasonal ones, like, and then the ones like waterfalls that go year round, but you have like streams and flowers that go from now through September, the end of September, private tours, fall tours, you know, and then private coaching too. So like contact them, you know. So when you're taking people out, do you think that you're adding to, you know, you said about that email coming back, but people are growing in being more of a steward of the land through this?
Yes, I think so very much. I don't think we necessarily talk directly about that, but it's sort of woven into the way in which we approach the experience, the way Bonnie and I interact with what we're doing with our cameras and seeing the waterfalls or beautiful flowers and making macro photos, close-up photos of flowers or trees and so forth, and showing respect for them and appreciation and care not to be stepping on them and that sort of thing. So I think that's woven in to that yeah. sense of stewardship with the natural world. Now, you know, I'm talking a lot about nature, but I'm also curious, you know, certainly a lot of people love to photograph in cities, you know, street photography.
Oh,
travel photography is very big. And I would imagine that there are people on the wine tours too that are carrying cameras with them and want to make fun pictures of the tours and the beautiful vineyards and the people having fun together and stuff. So, photography is not just about nature. It's really about connecting with our life as a whole more deeply. And so I think that the way in which we give people an experience, in our case, it's more about nature, but that enriches their whole ability to be present with whatever their experience is and find ways to document it or make something beautiful that they can share in a picture.
I agree. And and this, you know, Asheville is like photography, like downtown and all the murals and everything. It just, you could go to town with it, but the wine photography, right? So there's always a thing of don't touch your glass at the top. If you're going to take a photo and leave a fingerprint, like, Here's my thumbprint on my glass, like, you know, and watch the lipstick on the rim. But unless that's what you want, and that leads me to Bonnie. So, Bonnie, you may want the lipstick on the rim of the wine glass as part of the art and what you're trying to tell, right? It depends, right? So the art side, tell us a little bit about that, because maybe people have this inner art person, right, this artist in them that they want to get away from. Here's my selfie and here's this, you know, I'm not trashing selfies. I'm just saying, you know, the clickety click, click, click. I'm just like, you know, and let me do something special with this photo and take my time with it before, during, after, right? Because it's all of that. But maybe you do want the lipstick on the rim of the glass, right? Did I say that? That sounds bad, doesn't it? But Bonnie,
or we could teach you how to remove it in post-processing.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go.
But, because you may not want your wife to see what was on that wine glass. No, I'm kidding. But but no, honestly, the art side, do you see people start to tap into that and be a little happier when they connect with their art side? Just like when people tap into nature, that they've been away from it for a while and then come back through?
Yes, we find that a lot of people are a little nervous about, you know, we always ask them, well, what do you see in the scene or what draws your attention? And it isn't like there's really a right or a wrong. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, what is mm-hmm. your artistic vision? And we try to emphasize that with people if they're interested. I mean, it's fine. You know, if people just want the grand landscape, that's great too. I mean, there's room for all kinds of photography.
Mm. And, so when you talk, go ahead.
But you know, we encourage people to find their own vision, and you know, not just, you know, what you get. It gets kind of boring on, you know, when you see the same scene over and over again on Instagram or Facebook. Mm-hmm. And you know, why not do something unique or a little different or try things? You know, the other thing is that we encourage people to experiment and you know, which is really leads them into their own creativity.
Where are we on people understanding photography now? Like, I know there's definite people that are into it, and then there's the other side who are so just click, point, and shoot. Do they understand exposure? Are with phones, are we learning more, do you think, or losing some of that information of how it all works? And does it matter?
I don't know if it matters, but a lot of people that have been into their cameras for a long time really love their smartphones, and there's lots of apps that can help you be very creative with your, especially like the latest phones, you know, with the three cameras. And the thing is, you always have your phone with you these days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tend to carry our cameras, but a lot of people don't. But there's a lot you can do with the phones now. I would, you know, personally, Chris and I prefer camera, you know, our regular cameras. But, you know, you can get some very interesting pictures with iPhones too. So, you know, they're for everything.
It is an interesting time. I mean, I find that each one has their own quality. Like, I'll use a camera for this and a cell phone for that, you know, a smartphone or whatever, for that, like certain things. And it, you know, it's like, and you're on the fly, and then sometimes I'm like, dang, that did better than the camera. Like, that's weird. You know? So so on the wine part of it, you know, that Ryan and Terry, come on, you know, photography at the winery's got to be a big deal, right? That's got to have, that comes into play with people tasting, or if they're on a party or a bachelorette tour, or, you know, on the Asheville wine tour with you going, hey, we're having a party. So do they bring photographers on those kind of things, or are people just doing their cell phones, or how does that work?
Well, they're beautiful places. I don't know if you saw some of the pictures of some of the places on our website.
Yeah, you've got a great gallery on the website.
Phenomenal. We were just looking at those. Yes, they're beautiful.
I had worked as a photographer for a number of years as well. So when we first started this, and it was just really kind of one man in a van, me, I used to always carry my camera and I take pictures for people because, I mean, it's just eye candy at these places. And, I don't drive so much anymore because we've grown and I've got to kind of run the business. But yes, a lot of people bring their phones, bring cameras, and they're always taking pictures and wanting their pictures taken because they're just beautiful places.
Mm. And it's cool that you're in the photography. Well, you know, because it's all hand in hand, right? A wine glass in one hand and a camera or a phone in the other. It sounds perfect.
if you think both wine and photography, you know, it's a combination of art and science.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. This is my kind of conversation here, but it's even better to even experience it, right? I want to hear what the okay. So, Ryan and Terry from Asheville Wine Tours, They run the actual tour part of it. The Nashville Wine Tours is operated by Van in Black. And the first thing I wouldn't know was about Johnny Cash, right? I don't know.
So
but I don't know
there's
why.
A story
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So
bring it.
We originally started Van in Black, and I'll tell you why we did that. Asheville Wine Tours is kind of a, it was an afterthought after we started Van in Black that we kind of did a DBA under Van in Black so that we can do some kind of regional association, because we also run Hendersonville Wine Tours, Greenville Wine Tours, and a couple other areas all kind of through Van in Black. But with federal regulations and all that, it was just a lot mm-hmm. easier to do all that and maintain that through one company. So we've got Van in Black as the parent company, and then all the DBAs mm-hmm. are below that. But when we first started this back in 2018, I had left the IT industry and I had worked in that for 30 something years. And during that time, I was working remote and I was very fortunate. I played as a professional musician for about 10 years in a traveling Sweet. Band. And it was actually a Johnny Cash tribute band.
No way.
I played guitar for them, and we used to play all up and down the East Coast doing festivals and theaters and stuff like that. And we got the first van actually to get the band around, and everybody obviously called the Van in Black because, you know, we were a Johnny Cash band. And so it was just kind of a term of endearment to the van. And when I left IT, corporate America, I'm like, I need to do something. So I'm like, I'll do something with the van. And I looked and vaninblack.com was available. And I was like, well, there you go. That's what everybody already calls it. So that's kind of what I just went with. And yeah, that's
I love
the,
that.
That's the story behind it.
So what do you play? Are you a singer? Or play, like what? We want to know the
my,
music I, side.
My voice wasn't deep enough for that one. but I played guitar and keyboards in the band.
All right, sweet. No, we got Steve and Karen yeah. travel all over for music. They're nonstop. That's yeah. why Mr. and Mrs. Wild, they're either at the inn or they're chasing the wildlife, literally the wildlife, nature, or the wildlife of musicians. Mm-hmm. So that's yeah. their life. And we're all music people. But mm-hmm. that's a super cool, you know, super cool story. But, you know, the thing is, all three of you in business, three businesses, mm-hmm. you're all on a new career, right? And seasoned at right. it and been there, done that, right? And I think that's really important mm-hmm. as part of this discussion, that people realize, hey, you know, you can do more things in life. And I think it's cool because it's sometimes when there's a newer business, you come from this to that, you're taking traits from your previous careers into the new ones. And there's an extra added burst of life to it, right? So Karen, tell me, you guys came from like the IT world, right? Before you did the BME?
We did.
Mm-hmm.
We did. We talked with Ryan a bit about that before.
Wow. So you go from IT to Steve making beer and breakfast and, you know,
yeah.
And Karen is just running the roost, you know? No, but hey, listen, Steve makes some killer breakfast. And listen, if you don't have a beer mosa on a Sunday, like you're missing out. You mm-hmm. must have the beer mosa. Nancy didn't believe me until, well, you know, she's going to try anything, right? And she did. And she's yeah. like, she's not a big beer drinker, but she's like, okay, if Steve did it, I'm like, here. Oh,
yeah.
She's happy. She's happy. So that's cool. Terry, what is your background going into wine?
I actually work as a subcontract manager overseeing some construction projects.
Damn,
for the
so you've
pharmaceutical...
got organizational skills going.
Yes,
in.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Woo! See, that's
it's
so cool.
With a pharmaceutical mm-hmm. company, and they always have a lot of change, a lot of new construction. And so, my attention to detail and organization skills definitely help run this business.
Yes, it helps me out tremendously.
No, you know what? I appreciate people like you. I'm one of those, and I'm annoying because of that. But it is so important, especially when you're running, you know, tours. Be on time, have the cars cleaned. I mean, I can only imagine what you go through with that. It just like, yeah, we're gonna, yeah, that's it's more work than what all of us as the travelers understand, but and we don't want to know. We just go like, okay, let's go. But I just want to say hats off. And you know, going back over Chris and Bonnie, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, it's varied. I was a
school. Oh, that sounds good.
I taught meditation. I was a school librarian, and I dabbled in a lot of arts, calligraphy and painting and bookbinding, you know, artist books and stuff. So,
That is so cool. The bookbinding thing, like, we're losing that, you know? That's what's so interesting about today's conversation. It's like the old and new are all moving together, you know, with the experiences you give. But I love your, you know, varied background. I love that. It's because it is, you know, and then going into photography, that explains your photography a lot.
Yes.
And bookbinding, when you look at historic books, do you love historic books and what happens in the art of the pages and the, I mean, when you go into like antique books, to me are some of the most precious things on the planet, and the materials they use, the art they did, the blood, sweat, and tears to make those books are incredible. And well, now everything on Kindle, I'm like, what, you know?
Well, it is. It's definitely a much more tactile experience. And there is quite a healthy community amongst photographers, and there are people that make artist books, you know, they're handmade books, you know, where they, you know, do printing and calligraphy and, you know, different kinds of artwork in them. And there's all kinds of, it's a very structural thing. And the University of Iowa has a Center for the Book. And there's some other place, I forget the other universities, that actually have schools where they teach the old arts of leather hand, you know, leather bookbinding and stuff. So that people like old, you have to have their old books repaired. And,
and so, I mean, some of them are gold leafed in the edges and trimmed. And sorry, but I get excited about old books. It sounds weird. It's like albums. You know, can we have more vinyl, please? Yeah. I know it's coming back, and I'm glad about it. It is about that.
Well, it's listen, interesting. It's interesting in the visual arts. There's two different directions going on right now. We have the AI generation, the AI technology that's taking things more and more toward computer and being able to create art with audible prompts or written prompts that, you know, are just made up by computer or combinations of other images from scraped from the internet. But then you also have more and more people who are getting into the traditional traditional techniques of art making, book making, book binding. There's more and more people exploring film photography as opposed to digital photography. And so I think it's a really rich arena in the artistry world right now, which I think also probably is, you know, what wine appreciation is about as well.
Craftsmanship.
So
you know, it's like, yeah, here's our tools of what we need to do with AI, but here's craftsmanship, right? So and I think you're really right. We've done a number of shows on AI, and whereas everyone's arguing and carrying on, it's like at the end of the day, yeah, the more we have the Kindle, when we get a book, it's a book that we really want, like an actual physical book that's something special. Right? Yeah. And it's right. You may have read it on Kindle, or it could be a coffee table book, the art book, you know. It's something really, so we're getting into that. Like if you invest in vinyl, things are becoming more about quality over quantity. You know, it's like the digital world is quantity, you know, it still has to be quality, but you know what I mean? It's that balance. Mm-hmm. And that's even in travel. That's why people stay at bed and breakfast for a quality experience. That's why they go on tours. Like both of you, with the photo tours, the wine tours in Asheville, you're getting a quality experience, you know, versus, you know, yes, you can do your solo thing, absolutely. But honestly, the first thing to do is go on the tour. And then when you come back to Asheville, go on your solo tour, because now you've at least learned a little bit of the ropes and saved yourself time. Just exactly like AI saves us time, right? In some ways. And some of it is really ridiculous too. But Ryan, is that interesting for you too, with the wine part of people going to want to learn more?
Oh, I love it when people want to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a big deal. I love this. All of you, thank you so much for joining us. Steve and Karen at the Lion and the Rose Bed and Breakfast, you go to Asheville. If you do not stay there, I'm coming after you. Just saying. And I travel the country and I know every road. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I know you guys book up fast too, so you know, especially at this time of year. But everyone, lion-rose.com is the place to go. We're here on the show every first Tuesday. Karen, any specials that we should know about? Any kind of, you know, programs going on?
So we have more and more specials all the time, but the two we want to feature for May will be our partners you are talking to right now. We want to specialize on trying to get people to go do a photo tour and go do a wine tour.
Love it, love it. So, okay, so everyone, lion-rose.com is the place to go. Ryan and Terry, thank you so much. AshevilleWineTours.com. Anything to add before we go?
No, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, we
Hey.
would love to take people out, you know, from the inn and, you know, go on a photo tour and vineyard tour. It would be fantastic.
I
I
think you guys need to have a photo wine tour thing
we
connected.
do.
I'm
Yeah,
just
if I could
saying.
throw this out
That'd be
there,
fun.
why
One
don't
time
all of
only.
us
Sounds good.
on the phone call get in one of our vans and we'll go drive around to some of the vineyards?
Okay, this is cool. This is cool.
Sounds good.
Chris, everyone, AshevilleWineTours.com. Chris and Bonnie, are we allowed wine on the photography tour? Do we have to wait?
No, well, people drive their own cars, so that it's probably not a good, I think it'd be better to go on the wine tour after the photo
After.
tour.
Yes.
And I
Well,
have to say, I love wine, and the wine tour sounds great. So I'm not,
I
it's
know.
not that I'm against wine, it's just doesn't
You know what
quite
I
make
think?
the
I think
driving.
I know when you go and do these tours, like you go on a photography tour, you should end with a wine tour so that you can sit down, taste the wine, and you should compare your experience. Like one of our favorite things is William Shatner did this brown bagged wine series years ago. And he would pour, he brought famous people on this podcast, like a video thing. I mean, this was, I don't know where, how, it was like a different channel. I mean, we're talking probably 10 years, 12 years ago or something. Anyway, so he would pour, the wine would be in a brown bag, and we'd pour the wine and say, okay, and people who didn't know wine, people who were wine connoisseurs, enthusiasts, all of it was a big mix. But it was like a, you know, celebrity people most of the time. And he would pour the wine and say, now, describe this wine according to your career. And it was fascinating. And then people would rate it on, you know, the scale of, you know, one spectator thing. And it was so interesting because some would give it a real high or a real low. And then here's the real score. And this is the wine. This is where it's from. And how it would match was absolutely phenomenal. And we did it at a friend's at Thanksgiving. I think it was a Thanksgiving. And they're like, well, you need to greet people at the door. And Nancy and I know we're like loudmouth, but when it comes to people, we're kind of introverted. And so then I just went, well, I got all this wine. I'm putting it in brown bags. And I started doing that with people as they came through the door. And it was amazing. It was the most coolest thing to do to people was to just describe this as who you are. So I'm thinking, go on the photo tour. You have these amazing experiences. You're going to see tiny little flowers that you didn't know. Maybe a salamander. You'll see that. Maybe it's like, oh my gosh, I saw the Blue Ridge Mountains and I saw like this mist roll in and, you know, clouds did this or one of those scary trees or, you know, and then this is something new for you. And then you sit at wine time you have a wine tasting and you taste according to your experiences. That's what I'm saying as a closure of this show. Wouldn't that be cool? Come
Very
on.
cool. Yes.
I think y'all
Yes.
need to have a business together. Just saying. So, everyone,
It's all
Asheville Photo.
enriching people's lives.
It is. It's
Exactly.
about
Yep. Yeah.
enjoying the moments. It's perfect. So
Mm-hmm.
AshevillePhoto.tours, AshevilleWineTours.com, and Lion-Rose.com. All the links are in the show notes, whether you're listening on YouTube or Facebook or Spotify, wherever. It's there. Thank you for joining us. Thank you all. Take care. Have fun. Sip that wine and enjoy those flowers.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us here on Big Blend Radio's Adventures in Asheville show. Learn more about the Lion and the Rose Bed and Breakfast, which is located in the historic Montford district of Asheville, North Carolina. Go to lion-rose.com. You can keep up with our Big Blend Radio shows at bigblendradio.com.